You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Simmer, did you just mix in a quick set before you came on the show today?
Oh, man, I'm doing the curls right now. It's kind of like Anchorman, you know, 1001, 1002. Yeah. Trying to have a routine at my age and at this point in the dead of winter, that's the key. So I would say showing up is considered to be effort, but, yeah, I wouldn't quite go that far. But we do what we try to got to do.
Now, take us through the timeline and what happened with Josh Norris. How is there frustration level on this side, or was this one where they tried to heal it without surgery, then they came back, or didn't he have surgery on this injury already once? He comes back, plays, I don't know what it was, 3 or 4 games, now he's hurt again. Did he have surgery, or is now this is a similar injury but different? What's up with Norris?
No, yeah, he actually back when he was actually San Jose Property, the World Junior got hurt, missed the rest of the year in Michigan, had major shoulder surgery. Now, last year he was out kind of precautionary. When this injury happened 5 games in, guys, they said it had nothing to relate it. Now, unfortunately, it is all the same shoulder. As far as frustration, I don't know what to make of it, guys. I didn't really know. It's really interesting because having Mike Johnson on, MJ's had a number of shoulder surgeries and kind of went through it. And actually talked to Norris and said, hey, I kind of agree with this course. You give it a try. You try to rehab it. See if you can get to the other side of it. And if you can't, which I thought, okay, well, this is pretty good. MJ knows what he's talking about. I guess I look at it now from a timing standpoint. It's almost thankful, guys, that he didn't play the rest of the year. This is a team that maybe got into the playoffs, and all of a sudden you hear mid-April he's having shoulder surgery. So this should line up to have a pretty good summer. Pinto did the same thing. White did the same thing as far as trying to rehab and then come back. So I don't know what to really look at other than they do say that it's kind of up to the players, but I kind of look at this, guys, especially when it comes to shoulder dislocations. If the route to get 100% is surgery, then why not just have it right away? So, like I said, in kind of a lost year, guys, I don't look at it as that frustrating. I just hope that the young fella having this many shoulder surgeries on one shoulder doesn't end up in a chronic situation. He's a heck of a hockey player.
Take us through what's going on with Matthew Joseph. I felt he'd be a pretty big part of their team. They signed him to the extension. But is it his play? Like, what's going on where it seems like he doesn't have the traction that I think many expected in the market?
Yeah, no, it's interesting, Jason, because when I watched him a lot with Tampa, I thought, you know, a lot of activity, not a lot of achievement. When he came over last year, he played a little bit higher in the lineup, played with a purpose. He's a good skater, went to the net. I don't think he thinks the game great necessarily. And then this year, it has just been not there. I mean, for whatever reason, he was sad earlier in the season. You had the injury. You have him coming back. I don't know if the speed is quite the same. And like I said, he's not a natural as far as the hockey sense portion of it. So unfortunately, as they've lost some of their depth with the loss of Brown. Of course, Paul was a trade. Formanton and kind of where he's slotted just hasn't been a whole lot happening. So I'm not really sure where this is going. Unfortunately, when you really look at the entire body of work in his career, this is kind of what he's been. So they've hitched their wagon to him on a contract. And, unfortunately, this has not been very good.
Sean Simpson joins us on Sports Leader TSN 1260. Sean, I remember coming on your station at the start of the year and people asked, what do you think the Sens do? And I was like, I don't think they're going to be very good because they remind me a lot of the Oilers in the early part of the 2010s to 14s. Lots of good offensive young players, but no defense. Yeah. And really that's kind of come to fruition for Ottawa. Has there been any progress in your eyes defensively as a team or as defensemen specifically?
Oh, I don't think there's been any progress on a lot of levels, and I there's no doubt. And again, kind of coming into the year, I think everybody's kind of optimistic, but as you've kind of sorted through and you've gotten to the 46-game mark, there has not been progress individually in guys' play. The team play is not good. Now the lack of depth up front, what's happening, the goaltending, you kind of go across the board, guys. I really do, though, look at kind of the core and the pieces and where they're at. You know, they have a nice foundation. I didn't expect them to come in and win a Stanley Cup. What I did expect was hopefully see some improvement. And as I said, individually and team-wise, defensively, you can go through the whole crew. Like, it's not just a defensive core. It is everybody. Now, Jake Sanderson has certainly been the, you know, that's been exciting, and he's a tremendous young hockey player. Stutzla has made some real, you know, ground in kind of his growth, but the rest of the group, just overall, and the way this has kind of gone, this shouldn't be approaching. And I'll be honest with you guys, like, I love going to the games on the Saturdays. I work them, and watching Winnipeg up close and personal, like, you couldn't have looked at two teams any differently, and just so impressed with not only Winnipeg and the parts guys, but the way they're playing under Rick Bowness. I'm like, this is a teaching tape, and it's the exact opposite of the way Ottawa plays. So to me, it's been a real down year on lots of levels, and I'm not even talking about expectations, guys. I'm just talking about forward progress.
So DJ Smith and I were actually at camps with the Islanders together for a few years. So I know him pretty well, and I've been rooting for him. But, you know, it seems like oftentimes someone kind of takes the team through the rebuild, then someone else kind of grabs it when they can see the closer to the end of the tunnel or some light, some daylight. What's going to happen with DJ here? Is he being, you know, what are the expectations for him?
Well, I think, Jason, when you look at this, say, I mean, the team's going to be sold. You know, and as far as speculation, I think that's really tough on either the manager or coach. But, hey, it's a results-oriented business. There's no doubt that the players like him. But even that, I felt like, was a breaking point on Saturday, where he's kind of kept Batherson in the spot, and he's minus a zillion. And it's like, hey, the players like him. But there really hasn't been any accountability. And, again, as far as bringing the players through and the growth of players and getting along, it certainly has been positive. But I also look at a lot of these players. They're very talented. Most of them should, with time in the National Hockey League, be where they're at offensively. The good coaches teach you how to play properly, how to win, and unfortunately that just hasn't happened. And when you look at the repetition of mistakes, you look at just the same players doing the same things over and over, there just hasn't been enough accountability at the end of the day. So if you look at 3+ years of what he's accomplished, do I think he'll be back under new ownership? Well, again, we'll see, but like I said, the results have not been there. It just hasn't shown the ability to kind of, as you said, take it to the other side.
Sean Simpson joins us on the Sports Leader TSN 1260. What is the latest on the sale of the Sens?
Well, you know what, it just really talk. I mean, kind of behind the scenes, the part that they talked about was basically, hey, they're going to do a vetting process to find out who the contenders or pretenders are of wanting to buy the team. And then they would have an opportunity, I guess, to go into a virtual room and look at the books and go from there. But I think history tells us on sales of teams, and you think about even the transfer of Winnipeg, Atlanta going to Winnipeg, you know, people that pretend they're in the know or know what's going on, I don't think they do. Now, you do in a lot of different reasons based on the Melnick family, based on the timeline of Laurentian Flats. Everybody's kind of talked about it happening in February or March, and I wouldn't be surprised if this goes fairly quickly, and the Ryan Reynolds angle and all that stuff is really exciting. And the nice part, it sounds like there's quite a few people, I don't know how many exactly, guys that are interested, but there is going to be new ownership here, and I guess I just throwing this out there, I would assume, guys, this will come before the end of the season, but I don't think anybody can firmly look at it. But there are some pieces there and kind of some breadcrumbs to kind of bring you along. But like I said, the league usually does a pretty good job of keeping this stuff quiet. And even the fella, you know, out of Hamilton, I know there was some big media about him a couple of months ago. You know, that tends to be something that someone else is putting out there versus the league itself.
Got a chance to watch Ridly Greig in the World Juniors this summer. Really liked him. I think he's getting his debut here right away. You know, what do you foresee for him just as a kind of a growth chart for the rest of this year?
Well, you know, it's interesting, guys. He's just a great hockey player. I mean, what a pick and what a competitor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's funny, I had my buddy Todd Lushko on, and he joked about when they were in St. John, it was mom that he got the edge from, and it was dad that he got the talent from, and we had a good laugh about that. But, hey, this kid at the World Junior, he's going to be a real good top six forward. But he is an old junkyard dog right now, guys. There's not much, you know, not a lot of meat on the bone, and that does concern me both short and long term. Once he passes through the other side, who wouldn't want a guy like that on their hockey team? But I do worry, and the American League's not easy as well, just you know that, but I at the NHL level, I'm not sure that bringing him up right now is really the best idea, but you have Norris out, and long term, if this fella can stay healthy, like I said, who wouldn't want a Ridly Greig on their hockey team?
When you look at the Sens, who do you feel are the best pieces that they can move for the best return at the deadline?
Well, As far as the deadline, if you just were looked at it, I mean, they don't have a lot, guys. I mean, you know, I certainly think a guy like Talbot will do something. You have Hamonic, you have Mott. I guess you have Holden to Watson. But we're just talking about draft picks here. Depending on how, you know, does somebody really need a goalie? Is it a second-round pick, third-round picks, or guys less than that? As far as major trades, guys, it's kind of hard to look at. I kind of look at down the middle when Norris is healthy, and you've got Stutz along with Pinto and Kastelic. I like that group. Certainly Brady Tkachuk is a fixture. Drew isn't going anywhere. Then you get to some of the other things. I think long term, if they were to do something, some of the decisions and the big decision will have to come on DeBrincat's, you know, contract. I'm not sure for what they have as a hockey team, for the type of player Batherson is along with the contract he's on, guys, that's probably the player. I don't think you're going to hitch your wagon to a long-term $8 million deal with all the contracts you have with Shabbat Sanderson coming up. You just signed Zub. So I would guess when major deals are done, the possibility would be a guy like DeBrincat. But beyond that, you know, I don't think there'd be a whole lot, guys, other than just getting rid of some pieces, giving some young players an opportunity, and hopefully getting a real nice draft pick. I didn't think we'd have quite this conversation, especially at the end of January, but I think that should be the focus between now and the trade deadline, is getting rid of those unrestricted players, play some kids, and hopefully get a top 10 pick this summer.
Sean, great stuff as always, man. Quickly, the Boston Bruins, you see the East a lot.
Yeah.
Do they have any weakness?
It sure doesn't feel like it, although it was fun watching Winnipeg the other day, but been friends with Jimmy Montgomery for about 30 years and for everything he went through in Dallas, and kind of funny because we have he and Bruce Cassidy on quite a bit, so it's been a win-win for both of those guys, but just thrilled for him, and you're right in looking this, and I'll say this with Ullmark, and I know you guys in Edmonton appreciate kind of finding goaltenders. I didn't know much about this fellow when Bob Esenza and crew brought him into Boston, but man, oh man, that has been impressive, and everything that they've kind of touched with Don Sweeney and bringing Lindholm over and bringing Krejci back and all the stuff that they've done, man, oh man, when people tell you that the salary cap world, that you can't make trades, look at the teams that actually make trades and that are good hockey teams. The good general managers find a way. They don't use that as an excuse, and I think Boston's a great example. Don Sweeney's done a great job there.
Great stuff, man. I appreciate it. Have yourself a great day.
Okay, anytime, guys. Cheers.